5:05, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Friday. We have made it. Congratulations. Self high fives all the way around. Yes, indeed. All you have to do is look out your official weather window, and you will see there's something nasty on the way. There's a storm coming. Heavy rain for sure. We've got thunderstorms that are really going to intensify overnight. And from the looks of it, that's going to be the full weekend. I'm just telling you right now, it looks like both Saturday and Sunday are going to be washouts, if you will, for outdoor activity. All the more reason tomorrow afternoon to join me on Newsmax. Now, I'm going to be on Newsmax. The actual hit time is 2:50. You know, it's television, man. They've got so many times that they do this stuff. Right, Germ, it's not like what we do. I know we have times, and then I ignore them, and we just roll through stuff, and then you are stuck having to clean up my mess. Yeah, you're welcome. It's okay. You're doing a nice job. But yeah, TV, they're just a pain in the... Anyway, but it'll be fun because it's not political in any way. That's actually the part that I'm looking forward to. Seriously, I mean, I hate politics, as you know. I could talk about it, but I hate it. And this is like pop culture stuff. I really like it. Let me see. What is it actually called? It is called Theater of the Absurd, a fun culture type of segment. Excellent. And it's with Rob Astorino. Rob's been on this program, as a matter of fact. He's a good dude. So I'm looking forward to that. So if you want to join me, I'll put it up on all the social media sites so that you don't forget. But tomorrow afternoon, 2:45-ish, make sure you're there at 2:45. That way you won't miss it. And I have no idea what we'll be talking about. I'm sure it will be great fun. Though, other things going on tomorrow. Again, the weather's going to be the issue, but scheduled to go on tomorrow. The Strawberry Fair up here in Ashland, always a great time. And the Special Olympics over at U of R and a couple of other locations. You go to Virginia's Special Olympics Virginia.org and check out exactly where the stuff is located. We're going to speak with an old buddy of mine at 5:35, so about a half an hour from now, Tom Duggan. Tom has a fascinating story. He really, really does. Tom's dad was a police officer in Massachusetts, killed in line of duty. And Tom has devoted his life to a lot of things, including free speech. He is the publisher of a really wonderful publication. It's called The Valley Patriot. Serves a chunk of New England. It's not everywhere, and it's not designed to be everywhere. It is a great example of a local publication that has just been rocking and rolling now 15 years, 20 years. I don't know. I'll find out from Tom when he's here. But Tom is all about that First Amendment. He's all about freedom of the press. And he was under attack, threatened with jail for stories. Crazy, right? But he's going to be with us at 5:35, and we will take a listen to what he's got to say, what he's been through. I am still curious. Is anybody thinking, as you watch the Trump-Musk dust-up, anybody else thinking, this is not exactly what it seems to be? That there's more to it or less to it? Is it really that their bromance just broke up? Or is it two of the wealthiest, most powerful men in the world who decided there can only be one guy with a big ego in the room? Or is it what I think it is? Is it strategic in some way? Hey, Elon Musk went into all of this with a couple of things at the front of his mind, I'm sure. Yeah, he absolutely wanted to find waste inside of government. But I think he was also rather fond of the electric vehicle benefits that the Biden administration had been providing to people. That helped a lot of people buy his vehicles, those Teslas. Donald Trump said, I'm sorry. I mean, probably didn't even say I'm sorry. Probably just said, but we're not doing that anymore. We're not going to do that anymore. No. And I don't think it mattered how close a friend Elon Musk was. Donald Trump was not going to allow us, you, me, we, the taxpayers, to provide these outrageous payoffs to people who wanted a Tesla. I think that upset Elon Musk. And there were a couple of other issues, apparently, that also upset Elon Musk. But I want you to remember something about President Trump. And I say this in a good way. President Trump gets the media. This is one of the reasons the media hacks, the legacy news media hacks, this is one of the reasons they hate him so much, is he gets them completely. He figured them out 50 flipping years ago, and he has played them ever since. There is nothing that the president does that the president has not thought, okay, here's how this is going to play. Here's how this is going to hit. President Trump, in my opinion, has also allowed all of these bottom feeders to intentionally look at him as less intelligent, right? They talk about, oh, he's just an idiot. He's a, okay. You think President Trump loses sleep over that? Well, I'm here to tell you he doesn't. But you know what he does? Is he exploits that as well he should. So I am thinking that President Trump, who is the only president to have ever participated in WrestleMania, learned a thing or 10 from the crew at WWE. And at the time, I think he was there for WWF. But he learned something from them. He took all the stuff he knew, and he picked the brains of the folks over there at Titan Towers, and he took a little bit more, and I'm telling you, this whole thing smacks to me of a really well done work. And I don't think I'm the only one. You remember Megyn Kelly? Now, Megyn Kelly in the year 2025 is one of the most passionate, strong supporters and defenders of President Donald John Trump. But do you remember way back when the first time? Weren't they enemies or something? Remember? All right. So anyway, Germ pulled this. Take a listen, please, to cut number 4.
Really crazy. So crazy, Sean, because I walked out. We agreed, like, we're good. And the last thing he said to me before I walked out of Trump Tower was, you know, Megan, it's not such a good thing if they're not talking about us. And I was like, oh my God, was this whole thing for show? Like, was he acting the whole time?
Wow.
To generate buzz?
I'm going to say yes. And I think that's brilliant. I really do. I think this thing is brilliant. It does a couple of things. Number one, it shows you what completely, totally vacuous bottom feeders the leftists are. Because a week ago, they were burning Teslas in the street. Now they want to bake cakes for Elon Musk. Hey, all is forgiven now. Come back and be with us. Oh, and by the way, we're going to go and buy a whole slew of Teslas again. I am almost willing to say that somewhere inside the White House, President Trump said to Elon Musk, all right, look, here's the way this is going to work. I'm going to come out after you say some stuff. Because, and I think that Musk legitimately has real issues with the one big beautiful bill. I think that's okay. He says, yeah, you're gonna take it apart. I know that. It's okay. And then I'm going to say one or two things. And you're going to find that you are once again beloved by the leftists. They're going to go and snap up all these Teslas, put you back in the positive category. And you and I, you know, we'll be laughing. We'll be laughing. I think that's what it is. I know that's what it is. I'm just telling you, that's what this is. And nobody better than President Trump to play it. It shows you that the Democrats have absolutely, positively nothing to them. They're empty suits, completely and totally vacuous. There's nothing there. They still don't have a policy on anything. And they're now even more unified that they hate Trump. Well, I got news for you. Take a look at the last election. That didn't play too well. Even the people who, in theory, are on your team are doing everything possible to leave your team. What does that tell you? Come on. Anybody else want to do a prediction over under? How long until Trump and Musk have a big get back together, all is forgiven event. Anybody want to venture a guess? Seriously, hit me up on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Is it a full year? I don't know. But what's your over-under? What is the over-under? Let's set the over-under. Do we have to send it in years or do we have to set it in months? No, it's not going to be weeks. I think that's too soon. Months or years? 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. That is the James River Air text line. Seriously, shoot me a quick text. Let me know. Where do we set the over-under for the big summit? It won't be beer because President Trump doesn't drink. It'll be a Diet Coke summit where Elon Musk will come to the White House, maybe get down on one knee. I don't know. Whatever it is. But he's going to make clear, I was wrong about the president. And the president's going to say, hey, it happens. Don't worry about it. All is good. All is forgiven. We got to move forward. Why? Because it is the new golden age. And by God, we can't have anybody screwing that up. So we'll talk about that as well. 515, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 521, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday. Yep, we have made it. Congratulations. Self-high-fives all the way around. Taking a look at the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. 804 says, hello, Jeff. I think Trump and Musk will eventually kiss and make up. I believe both have a lot to lose. Musk needs Trump to keep his business in the national spotlight, while Trump needs Musk for his financial support. That's Mike in the 804. All right, thank you, Mike. Eddie, checking in from Fort Worth, Texas, listening online, obviously says, Jeff, I agree with you 1,000%. Somebody checking in from Atlanta says they will make up on July the 4th. Ooh! That would be great symbolism. That'd be great. Steve the Painter says, what a summit. Diet Coke and weed. Yeah. Here's the other thing. If they were really in this knockdown, drag out, metaphysical battle till the end, do you think Elon Musk would have one of his kids there in the Oval Office and Donald Trump would be like playing with the kid? Remember a couple of weeks ago, he was walking with the one of the Musk kids. You remember that? I mean, anyway. 804, Jeff, the big reconciliation Trump-Musk will happen in October 2025. Okay, sounds good to me. Let's see here. Jane in Short Pumps says, oh, okay, she's going for October 2025. That is Jane in Short Pump. 804 says Trump and Musk will make up within a few weeks. Huh, okay. Musk's net worth apparently dropped by $32 billion during his time being friendly with Trump. That's a lot for even the richest man in the world. Musk has a lot to lose, which creates urgency to resolve the differences. So he says it's a matter of weeks. All right. Okay. Well, we will see. We will see. Mark from Bonaire. Yeah, I have been thinking the exact same thing ever since this feud, in quotes, started. Yeah, I think it is a great piece of performance. And I mean, I'm all in favor of it, make no mistake. I love the fact that these bottom feeders are just going in on it 110%. Good, good. Keeps them from doing other stuff. Hey, CBS News continues to not quite understand what's really going on in the world. I'm talking about their, national pseudo news. Take a listen. This is cut number one, please.
And I think, you know, that's so true. But I think people of other religions feel similarly, they don't feel safe walking in and out of their places of worship as well.
But Jews are a tiny speck of the overall population and a ridiculous percentage of the overall hate crimes in America when it comes to religion. Right. And that's been true for a long, long time, long even before this war. And so all religious-based hate is wrong, but we shouldn't suggest that it's all happening at an equal rate.
Exactly. That's that one guy. I mean, he's going to lose his job at CBS. You and I both know they're going to fire him. They'll figure out a reason and they'll just say, hey, we don't want you here anymore, whatever it is. You can't have an opinion like that where you're telling the truth. The other lady obviously was towing the CBS line. Well, sure, it's Jews who are getting killed, but Islamophobia. Like the ever-constipated Mark Warner. Good Lord. I'm telling you, one of these years, I'm buying him Xlax. I really am buying the man Xlax. Did you hear him this morning with Rich Herrera in Richmond's Morning News? Now I know fully why Senator Mark Warner always appears to be constipated. Because the man is absolutely, totally full of crap. It's amazing. Hey, is the First Amendment dead or alive? We'll talk about it next. 527 Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 535 Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday. We have made it. Congratulations. Self high fives all the way around. Thunderstorms. I'm just telling you right now, they just upgraded them to severe thunderstorms. If they are not where you are yet, they will be. Be on the lookout, not just for the heavy rain, the strong winds, scared puppies, nothing about flooding, but they're moving in anytime now. They're going to be here the entire weekend. Saturday and Sunday, sad to say it, are both looking like complete and total washouts on the weather front. All right. You know that my beloved Commonwealth of Virginia is now my beloved Commonwealth of Virginia, but for the longest time, well, I was seeing another Commonwealth. It's true. Commonwealth of Massachusetts. I still follow from afar all of the, that's a technical term, bat crap crazy stuff that happens in the People's Republic of Massachusetts. For many years, I was a columnist with the Valley Patriot, which is a wonderful publication. Tom Duggan is the publisher, has done a great job there, is fighting for the First Amendment, freedom of the press, and has been for years. He's just come through a dust-up regarding that, and I saw the story, and I asked him if he would be willing to come on for a couple of moments and enlighten us, and I'm happy to say that he is doing exactly that. Brother Duggan, good afternoon, sir.
Brother Katz, I can't tell you what an honor it is, and before we even start, I am so happy to watch you and your success in the D.C. area, knowing your humble beginnings. It's hard for me to feel such pride for other people sometimes, because we all think about ourselves all the time, but I watch you from afar, and I just feel so proud of you, because you've done so much, especially with, you know, what you have to deal with at home with your daughter and your family, and you seem to manage everything so perfectly, and I just can't tell you how proud we are here in Massachusetts of you down there in the D.C. area.
Oh, well, that is so kind. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Now, I'm going to say thank you because I can't say anything else because then I'll get all mushy. So just thank you very much. That is very kind, Tom. But you, my friend, are fighting for freedom of the press. You are fighting for the First Amendment. Explain to everybody. First of all, give everybody a little bit of background. I've tried to paint the picture of who you are just as a man and why you are where you are. I talked about your dad, what have you, and our connection with law enforcement. But tell everybody about the evolution of the Valley Patriot.
So, you know, I was politically involved. I sat on a school committee in Lawrence, Massachusetts for a few years. And after that, I stayed involved, and my girlfriend at the time was a lawyer. She used to come with me to all these political events, and we'd pick up the daily newspaper every day and say, what the hell event were they at? Because the story was always wrong. The people's names were wrong. The stories that they covered at the local city council levels were always wrong. And eventually we turned to each other and said, you know, if we're going to be a one newspaper area here in the Merrimack Valley of Massachusetts, and we're a one newspaper town, one newspaper area, and they're getting everything wrong. If we started our own paper and just did it right, like don't even refer to the fact that they're getting everything wrong, just do it the right way, yeah, people will come to us for their news, and they'll actually be getting the real news. So in March of 2004, we had the first monthly edition of the Valley Patriot rolled off the presses, and we've been in the black ever since just by doing it right, just by showing up every day.
21 years? Good
yeah,
Lord,
we,
man.
Yeah, we celebrated our 21st anniversary last month.
Wow. Oh, my God. Well, now you want to talk about somebody who's proud of someone else. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of the team at the Valley Patriot. I know the Valley Patriot. I was sharing with people, wrote a column, love the Valley Patriot. I have such great memories of my time there. But also, you know, I mean, I still read it. I look at it online. You've been battling, truly, now, since day one, simply for truth and honest reporting in the newspaper space. So what happened? Because you will pull the wool back on anybody and anything. If there's any scandal, there's something wrong, you call it out. Did you call out the, quote, wrong person who got angry?
Yeah, so, you know, the problem with politics is, we use the word criminal in politics a lot. You know, we don't like a congressman. We call them a crook. Yeah. But sometimes there are actual criminals involved in government, people that are actual, you know, people that commit actual crimes. Mm. Sometimes they even violent people. And so I got word a couple of years ago that the homeless coordinator for the city of Lawrence on the side had a nonprofit to deal with homeless veterans, and that there were some shenanigans going on whereby, you know, she worked for the city as the homeless coordinator, and she was applying for grants for her own nonprofit that her department was going to oversee. So she applied for a $200,000 grant for her own nonprofit and then approved her own grants. And I got word of this by someone in City Hall, a couple of whistleblowers, and I started to investigate, but I ended up sick and in the hospital for about 4 or 5 months. Yeah. So it took a while for me to get to this story. But by the time I actually did get to the story, you know, you're a news guy. You go on social media and you give people a preview of your big upcoming story. Mm-hmm. So I went on Facebook and I said, coming tomorrow, we caught the homeless coordinator in the city of Lawrence, Kelly Birchall Frazier, trying to steal $200,000 of grant money by steering it to her own nonprofit, wow, which, by the way, is at the expense of other good nonprofits that actually do real work. Okay. Within an hour, there was a knock on my door by a North Andover police officer, because that's where my office is, handing me a stalking order. And the first thing that's checked on the stalking order says that I am prohibited from publishing anything about the so-called victim. And what she claimed was that I threatened her life by saying mean things about her on Facebook.
Wow.
And so they took my gun. They took my gun license. She originally defaulted. After 10 days, I got a hearing. She defaulted. It was dismissed. And the day after it was dismissed, I got a knock on my door by a North Andover police officer, and I thought, hey, they're going to give me back my gun and my gun permit.
Right.
And I opened the door and said, hey, you bringing me back my gun? And he said, not exactly, and handed me another stalking order with the same exact allegations that were already dismissed. And then Ms. Frazier decided to default 4 or 5 times and not show up in court, but always seemed to have an excuse to try and extend this. In the meantime, they're posting on Facebook, he's a pedophile, and they took his guns away from him. He's a sexual predator, and they took his guns. And by the way, his office is at 75 Main Street, North Andover, trying to get people to come after me and kill me.
Oh my gosh.
Eventually, we had our hearing set to show up on a Monday afternoon in April of 2024.
Okay.
And the weekend before, she went to the police, claimed that I violated the order, and had me arrested and held without bail for an entire weekend at the Methuen police station. The day that I got out on jail on Monday morning, they brought me into court in shackles like a serial killer. Thank God my lawyer negotiated to get me bail. I left that court, went to Salem, New Hampshire to the other court because that was the day of my hearing for the stalking order. And she walked in and said, Your Honor, he just spent the weekend in jail for violating your order. How do you not extend this? And from that point forward, Judge Zeno didn't listen to one damn word we had to say. He extended the order. And from that day forward, everywhere I went, her and her boyfriend would stalk me. If I checked in at a restaurant with my friends, she would come walking in 5 minutes later, already on the phone with the cops. I have a cousin that was killed in the line of duty in Billerica, Massachusetts last year.
Right.
I was on my way to the wake. My mom called me and said, you better turn around. Kelly and Debo are sitting in the front row waiting for you to show up to have you arrested. These people stalked me. They called me a pedophile on Facebook. They tried to get their friends to come after me. They attacked my mom. They attacked my sister. They attacked the nonprofit that I volunteer with. And then eventually, we appealed the stalking order to the state Supreme Court of New Hampshire. And I think I'm probably the only journalist in New England that has two state Supreme Court wins, one in New Hampshire and one in Massachusetts from a previous case. But in the meantime, it was a year of hell. This went on for over a year, where these people would stalk me. They'd show up at city council meetings so I couldn't cover it. Mm. They'd show up at the local, the local Rotary would have a circus to raise money for like an after school program.
Sure.
And they would go so that I couldn't go and I couldn't cover it. They'd post things online like, he diddles children, and you know it's true because he's not coming on our page denying it, is he? And of course, I couldn't go on their page denying it because I had a court order.
Jeez. So where are we now? It's crazy, all of the allegations and all the rest of it and the time in court. But there's a victory in on your side at the end of this, isn't there?
Yeah, so I got found not guilty on the criminal charges for violating the order because she just made it up,
right?
Her and her boyfriend. And then we went back to the judge and asked him to dismiss the stalking order because then I'd never be able to pass a Corey check and I'd never get my gun license back with all these crazy people coming after me thinking I'm a pedophile.
Yeah.
The judge would not take the case, would not reverse his order. So we appealed it to the New Hampshire Supreme Court. And we got a unanimous 3-panel verdict from the New Hampshire Supreme Court overturning the stalking order, expunging my record, and ordering the Commonwealth of Massachusetts to give me back my gun and my gun permit. But wow. And it's great that, like, we're here now and I'm through the woods.
Yep.
And I've got my integrity back and my reputation back a little bit.
Yeah.
But the local newspapers covered the front page story when I got arrested. But when I won my case at the Supreme Court, refused to cover it because, quote, I'm a rival newspaper.
Ah, there you go.
Right. They had no problem when I was a rival newspaper when they put my picture on the front page.
Yeah.
That I violated a stalking order and calling me a domestic abuser.
Yeah.
But then when I won and everything went away, they suddenly found this conscience that, well, he's a rival paper. We can't be writing about that.
Oh my gosh. What happened at the end of this, Tom, with this woman? I mean, you said, hey, she's the homeless coordinator for the city and she's got a nonprofit that's getting grants from the city that her agency is overseeing. Is she still in that role or has that been addressed?
Well, no. So the City Hall refused to fire her because they were petrified she was going to sue them and do to them what she was doing to me.
Okay.
But eventually there was enough public pressure once I won my case that she ended up resigning as the homeless coordinator. But she's still going strong, raising money for her nonprofit, claiming that she cares about veterans while she's attacking them on Facebook every day. We know that there's at least 3 criminal investigations by a district attorney, an attorney general, and I believe the feds at this point are now looking at the fact that she tried to get the $200,000 originally for her own nonprofit that was administered through her office or through her department. But she's still walking free, and, she's still bragging that at the end of the day, I might have gotten through this and won, but look at all the crap that she put me through. I spent upwards of $50,000 in legal fees just to fight all this.
Oh, my gosh.
And all I wanted to do, Brother Katz, was write a story. I had no personal interest in this woman at all before this.
Right.
My issue was she was a homeless coordinator for a local community that was trying to steer $200,000 in federal grant money to her own nonprofit and almost got away with it. And I had written a similar story months earlier about another Lawrence employee
mm-hmm.
who was smart enough to just shut the hell up and let the story go away, and nobody even talks about her anymore.
It is fascinating. Well, what can I tell you? The more things change, the more they stay the same in Massachusetts, it seems. And it was interesting. I was looking at your story, and I got to get you back if you're willing to talk about the mayor of Lawrence who's cheering for the ICE raids. I mean, that my head turned around and around on my shoulders about 3 times. That was incredible. For folks who maybe want to jump ahead a little bit, Tom, where do they read the Valley Patriot online? Because you're out there.
Yeah, so we're at valleypatriot.com, or you can always go to the Valley Patriot Facebook page.
Okay.
We upload the PDF of all of our papers. I believe news should always be free. There's no paywall. You don't have to join. You don't have to become a member. Free speech should always be free for everyone. That's always been my motto.
Yeah.
So you can read our paper. You can download the PDF, read it at your leisure. You know, some people like to subscribe. We tend to discourage that because, you know, it's easier to just go online like right now and look at it and read it rather than have us mail you something out and charge you money. I really, it grinds against me to even think about charging someone money for news. So, if they want it, valleypatriot.com is the place to go. And if you go in the upper right-hand corner and type out and do a search for edition, E-D-I-T-I-O-N, that's what we tag all of our print editions with, along with all the other stories.
All right. Well, valleypatriot.com. We'll share that on our social media, and I'm going to put you back on hold so Germ can set you up, because I want to get you back, like I said, to talk about the mayor up in Lawrence, Mass. Now, people, I'll paint the full picture for everybody here, but for the mayor of Lawrence, Massachusetts to come out in favor of ICE raids, that is huge news. And the first I saw of it was in the Valley Patriots. So we'll get Tom back to talk about that. It is 5:50, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA.
Self high five.
Bam! Yeah. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is indeed Friday. We have made it. Congratulations. Self high fives all the way around. We do have some serious thunderstorms that are hitting the area as we speak. And I know that part of my conversation with Tom Duggan got knocked out with the thunderstorms. I want you to worry about it. Everything is over at WRVA.com. WRVA.com. Okay, please visit WRVA.com. You can listen to everything that you enjoyed this afternoon and those things that you wanted to enjoy, but the weather got in the way. I'm taking a look at a text here on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. 804 says, Jeff, you are a terribly pessimistic radio weatherman. This weekend will not be a washout like many of you that have you predicted. I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense, but it just doesn't turn out the way that you predict. You're a great guy, though. All right, well, I'll take the last part. And listen, I'm just sharing with you what the forecast is. I do not have any weather prognostication equipment or skills, okay? I get the weather forecast. I give it to you. You are free to ignore it. If, in fact, you've decided that it's not for you, then by all means, it doesn't matter to me one way or the other. But please, it's not as if I am doing serious weather research, because it's not my thing. I don't do that. I do want you to take a listen to a little something, though. I got enough time here. Tom Holman. Who apparently, now this morning I was on with Rich Herrera, Richmond's Morning News. I don't know if that's going to be like because Rich wants me to come on once a week. And I'm very happy to do it. It's just that I'm not getting up early for him or anybody else. No offense. I'm not getting up for Julia. If you think I'm getting up to do a radio hit, hey, you have lost your ever-loving mind. But, you know, we can do it later in the day, like, I don't know, 10:15 I would be available. We were talking about these goofy bromances because, you know, it looks like Trump and Musk have broken up. Who would your bromance be? I didn't even know what a bromance was. And I thought, well, I don't know. And he mentioned Tom Brady. And I thought, well, yeah, sure, of course. And then the other Tom Holman, cut number five, Tom Holman.
It's coming. I mean, why did 2 million illegal aliens pay more to get away? They could have paid half of what they paid. Cross the border, turn yourselves into a border patrol agent, get released that same day, get a free airline ticket to the city of their choice, get a free hotel room, get 3 meals a day, plus free medical care and work authorization. 2 million people paid more to get away. They didn't want to be vetted. They didn't want to be fingerprinted. Why? This scares the hell out of me. I've been doing this for 40 years. It should have scared the hell out of every American what the Biden administration did. This 2 million known gotaways scares the hell out of me. So I'm convinced something's coming unless we can find him.
Yeah. He's talking about another 9/11 coming. The people who are in this country illegally, 2 million gotaways, millions of people. The population of, Philadelphia is not 2 million anymore, but Philadelphia and all the suburbs, about 2 million people. 2 million people. No idea where they are, where they're living, what they're doing, what names they're, nothing. We got no idea. They're in the country, we know that. But other than that, forget about it. Go ahead, sleep well. tonight, okay? A couple of things you need to know about. First of all, assuming the weather is cooperative on some level, we've got the Special Olympics torchlighting tonight down at U of R, and then the Special Olympics Summer Games will be at U of R and some other places throughout the area. That is tomorrow. We have the Strawberry Fair in Ashland tomorrow. Today, of course, is D-Day 81st anniversary. Please, please keep those heroes and their families in your thoughts and prayers. Tomorrow morning, we've got In the Garage with Stan Andruski. We end today, as we have since October the 7th, 2023, by playing Hatikva. It is the national anthem of Israel. It means the hope. Have a wonderful weekend. God willing, we do it all again on Monday. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA.